Grad Chat, your opportunity to find out about graduate research here at Queen's. My name is KM on the FM, and I am your host for this week's Grad Chat. A show like this could not happen without the support of the School of Graduate Studies and Postdoctoral Affairs and CFRC, so a big thank you to both of them. If you miss the show at any time, you can download the podcast the next day on either iTunes, Google Podcast, Spotify, or CFRC Podcast. It is a great way to stay informed about all the exciting research our graduate students and postdocs are working on. And today, we have Suyin the DJ Bear joining us again for our holiday wrap-up series for 2025. And as I mentioned before, Suyin the DJ Bear is the editor of Grad Chat, and she has been with the show and seen many, many episodes over the years, so we are excited to have her back again.
Hello again. Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
Well, thank you for joining us again today. And as we're wrapping up 2025 and looking forward to 2026, it's just exciting to think about all of the events, all of the workshops, all of the things, all the supports that we have going on into the new year.
Yes, it's important. And, you know, we have some students coming in, some new students coming in, some students coming back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you sort of try to put the term behind you for a little bit. So it's always good to have a refresher on what resources are available for next term and what's happening next term as well. So that's what we want to do today.
Yeah, I'm excited for everyone to hopefully be taking a nice long break.
Yes.
And coming back refreshed, spending time with loved ones, but then looking forward to, as you said, to remind themselves or to learn if they're a new student about some of the great stuff that's available here on campus to our students and our postdocs and our research community, really.
Yes. For a lot of students, I'm one of them. You know, I should know this because I'm editing the show, and then sometimes we have special guests coming in from different associations on campus like CTL and SAS and Student Wellness. So I should know this, but there are times when it is actually helpful to get a reminder what the resources are about on campus and if I need any help with my writing or with wellness or with my teaching or with teaching. It's good to have a reminder of who I can contact.
Yes, and there's so many things across campus, which sometimes it can also be overwhelming, right? That you don't know. There's so many great supports that you're like, I don't know who I should reach out to for this particular topic. But
we'll try to give you the highlights.
Yes.
Just, we won't overwhelm you with a lot.
Yes, provide some high-level things. And, of course, we encourage you to connect with all of these different departments across campus as they are all incredibly supportive of graduate students and postdocs, and they want you to succeed. Mm-hmm. So they have supports. A lot of them are focused on students, and they understand what it's like to be a graduate student, and they want to help. They want to see you succeed. Mm-hmm. So for any of our listeners, if you're joining Queen's as a graduate student in the new term, if you're starting in January 2026, we will have a new student welcome for you, and you will have been invited personally to come attend, and we would love to meet you in person. We have a nice reception, and you'll get the opportunity to meet with a lot of the services we're going to talk about in person. So the School of Graduate Studies and Postdoctoral Affairs, some of my excellent colleagues, shout out to Matt and Amanda, are organizing these events, this event for the new student welcome. So if you are new and starting soon at Queen's as a graduate student, we would love to have you and get to know you in early January. But as I said, if you are starting, you should have received an invite or will receive one very soon if you are registering down to the last minute on December 30th.
Which happens.
It does, right? So that's why, you know, if you're getting in here last minute, we'd still love to have you come out on early January and learn more. And the School of Graduate Studies and Postdoctoral Affairs is also hosting some of our regular events and workshops throughout next term. And we'll have some of our regular writing camps series that I know some folks look forward to quite a bit.
They're amazing.
Of course, yes. No, I love the writing camps as well. And our first one for 2026 will be on January 30th. We'll have a dissertation day camp. So that coincides with PA Day in the local school board system. So for any of our graduate students who are also parents, there's a great opportunity here for you to be able to get a really discounted day camp pass at the ARC. So the Athletics and Recreation Center has day camps, which are hosted every PA day because, you know, many parents need to find childcare on PA days. So there is a great partnership between the SGSPA and the ARC where you can get a full day of great play for your little ones for $5. And then can come to our dissertation day camp and get some writing done.
That's great. So, and I know if you're new and you're still not familiar with campus, don't worry. You'll be nearby with your little one. And it's a fantastic way to get some of that writing done, especially at the end of January when the term goes so fast. So by the end of January, you're just trying to catch up with your writing. And I have done this camp before. It was really amazing to have that space for just writing, but also the chance to have childcare available nearby. Mm-hmm. And if anything, I mean, there were a couple of times where my son wouldn't feel very well and I had to pick him up midday. But hey, that was a half a day of writing. So it's really appreciated to have that option.
And you don't have to be a parent to also come to the day camp portion. So you can come right anyways, but we just wanted to highlight as well that if you do have little ones that need, you know, care on a daily basis and they're in school and they have a PA day, we host these writing camps. Again, my great colleagues, Matt and Amanda, lead these. And they are just a space for students to come together and really get some progress done. And it's amazing how much work you can get done mm-hmm. in one focus day when you're in a room with other people who are also writing and also focusing. It
yes.
makes it a lot easier.
It does. You know, this is a side funny story. I was working on my dissertation this week. And then I had to return to a section. And that happens a lot with dissertations. You know, you work on this early on. And then when you're doing the revision process, you have to look back at what you wrote the years ago. And it's not always fun. But I remember writing that section during one of the writing camps. Mm. And I remember the moment, you know, having all that time to work on this section. And I was just like, wow, I have done a lot of my writing and during writing camps. And it's amazing. I really recommend it for everybody.
I would have to second that. Yes. And echo my support of how much you can accomplish in a writing camp. We also will have our regular dissertation boot camp, the longer version, scheduled in February as well. So folks should keep their eyes open for that registration. That will be, it usually falls around reading week, but it'll be confirmed and you'll be able to register soon in the 2026 winter term. And I agree. I found when I was a graduate student that the dissertation boot camps, the day camps, any opportunity to come together with other students and write was so much more productive than writing by myself. Yes. I found, I don't know about you, but I am easily distracted.
Yes.
Especially when writing or working on a challenging part of the writing where you just kind of have to sit with it until it's done. Mm-hmm. And when you're in one of those sections of your dissertation or your thesis or maybe a term paper, everything else starts to look really attractive besides writing, you know, whether that's laundry or dishes or, you know, the endless things you can find.
Exactly.
And dissertation writing camps and, sorry, dissertation boot camp and our host of writing camps are a great remedy to that, where you have to sit and focus and you get to work alongside other people and you can hash out some writing problems with folks who aren't in your discipline, right? Because they're
Well, that's how we met.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, yeah. We ended up meeting. We go way back.
Yeah.
But I have met a lot of my friends at writing camps as well. Mm-hmm. And it is fantastic to learn, you know, how much of this process is everybody's going through that process when it comes to the writing. So it doesn't matter your discipline. It doesn't matter where sometimes we tend to think, oh, the sciences do this and the humanities do that. But we're all suffering together. But it's very, very, to have that community, learning about the writing experience, it really gives you a boost to your self-esteem sometimes, because it can get really lonely, especially in the last stages of your dissertation, when you basically all you need to do is sit, write, and finish, which sounds simple, but it's not.
It is not, no.
You don't get to have discussions with people. You don't get to talk about ideas anymore. Mm-hmm. You're not in the classroom as much. It's different, and it can really be, I think it works against you sometimes and having this opportunity really, really gets those gears going again. And it makes you feel confident that you can do it. I really, really recommend it.
Yes. And I think it gives you that momentum again, right? It gets you excited about your work again, and you have to explain your idea to someone that you haven't met before. So, mm-hmm. you know, it gets you talking about the parts of your research that you really enjoy, that got you into the project in the first place. Exactly. So I think it can be all of our writing camps that will come up in the winter term can be a great place for you to, you know, get re-inspired, get excited about your work again, and mm-hmm. and hopefully meet some people across all sorts of faculties and disciplines and share about the writing process, which is something that is common across all graduate students, regardless of program, stage, or discipline.
Yes.
And if you want to get some feedback on your writing, or maybe work on some of the mechanics or the nuts and bolts of your writing or some of those ideas that you're working on, we have our wonderful friends at Student Academic Success Services, or SAS, which is a great acronym, that they can help you out as well. And they would love to have a consultation with you. They also run a host of workshops, but they are another mm-hmm. excellent resource that we want to remind you about or introduce you to on campus for your writing.
Absolutely. They you can make an appointment as well with them directly. Mm-hmm. I have done that in the past, and I have been using a lot of their techniques because mm-hmm. I get distracted easily, and I tend to go on tangents and off topic because I get excited about something else. And the staff at SAS really gave me some techniques that mm-hmm. I still use today. That is the reality, right? You mm-hmm. struggle with, so there's certain times when you struggle more than others, mm-hmm. and having someone like SAS mm-hmm. helping you get through those bumps and giving you techniques mm-hmm. to work with. And yeah, they're available, and just check out their website. For they have, like you said, workshops, and you can book consultations with them. It's great.
I also, again, I'm going to echo Suyin's endorsement, because SAS is such a helpful resource, again, for all students across all disciplines, because we all have to do writing. Mm-hmm. And in my graduate career, I also used SAS quite a bit, both their consultations, so doing some one-on-one meetings with individuals to help work through some really challenging places in my writing where I was trying to put, you know, 10 ideas into 3 paragraphs and those types of things, right, where you're like, well, I must include all of these things. All of these provide the context that I need to then help my reader get to understand my research. But they're really good at helping you tease out mm-hmm. what's essential in your writing, or maybe ways you can reorganize your writing. So they can do those kind of big picture ideas and concepts. But then I've also attended many of their workshops throughout my career as a graduate student about everything from, you know, how to start a literature review to how to really write effective sentences and paragraphs. And I use their online resources as well.
Yes, that's right. Those are also helpful. Yeah.
So they're another resource that we would like to remind you about or introduce you to, that they're usually located in Stauffer Library mm-hmm. and they have a newly renovated building. I have not gone in to see what the SAS office looks like, but we should all check that out in 2026.
Yes, I will do that too. I haven't.
Yes, no, it just reopened at some point this term. So it looks all revitalized. So I think they have a new classroom workshop space to share with all of us as well. So we can see their new learning space and check that out. We've got support on campus as well for you as an instructor and as mm-hmm. a teacher or a teaching assistant or whatever role you may have. As we all know, we have a vibrant undergraduate campus and a vibrant graduate campus, but our undergrads, we usually teach undergrads as folks in graduate studies. So there's also, of course, the Center for Teaching and Learning in Mac Corey Hall, which is another absolutely wonderful resource that would like to support you and see you succeed.
Yes, you can, if you are first to teaching, because mm-hmm. you might be coming in at the master's level or at a PhD level, and like myself, I didn't really get to teach during my master's. Mm-hmm. They weren't offering TAships at the time for master's students where I was. But then coming in into the PhD, and then you get to different opportunities to teach. So mm-hmm. that whether that be a tutorial or your own teaching fellowship or a TAship or a course, there are strategies that CTL offers for you that can help. There's also intercultural workshops. Mm-hmm. There's many, many opportunities to just expand on your knowledge in the classroom and as an instructor. I recommend that you check out their workshops because they can be very helpful.
Yes, and we were fortunate early on in this semester, this fall term semester, to have Kim Hill Tout, Paul Akpomoji, and and Habitala Uda actually join us.
That's right.
And they were the educational development associate team for the CTL this past fall term, which means they were all graduate students who would assist peers and others in the community in learning about themselves as educators. So mm-hmm. and the CTL always has educational development associates, so you're able to work with someone who is at a similar stage in their mm-hmm. in their degree and in their research to be able to help you as well. So they have a host of expertise across different areas of teaching and learning, but they have people with backgrounds across disciplines and across stages. You know, they have people who are earlier into their careers as educators, and they have folks who've been supporting teaching and learning or doing teaching and learning for decades. Mm-hmm. And you can get support from all of those different perspectives at the CTL.
Yes.
So I again found them to be an incredibly helpful resource when I was undertaking teaching for some of the first times as a graduate student. And they continue to offer some really, really helpful supports for people across campus. Specific ones targeted to graduate students include some of their online asynchronous modules. So they have a really great series on OnQ that allows you to work through teaching ideas and learning ideas at your own pace. And mm-hmm. if you complete a certain amount of modules, I can't remember the specific number off the top of my head, but if you complete a proportion of the modules, you can actually get a certificate from the Center for Teaching
That's
and
right.
Learning acknowledging the work that you've put in. So they have asynchronous, they have in-person, they have online workshops, and they do one-on-one consultations as well. So if you are looking for specific support, you want to talk about your teaching in a different way, or you want to try out a new technique, the CTL is the place for you mm-hmm. to get more support. And they, again, I can't say enough good things about the CTL. They have some wonderful workshops. I think their accessibility series workshops this past fall was wonderful, and they'll continue to bring in scholars who focus on accessibility in many different ways in January. I think, oh my goodness, I'm going to, the topic is on moving beyond universal design for learning. So in January, quote me on the exact details, but I know they're bringing in a guest scholar who specializes in this topic, and I'm really looking forward to learning about that. So that when I help design workshops in the SGSPA, we're thinking about all of these concerns as well mm-hmm. about how we can be more accessible in our workshop design and those types of concepts to bring that to a different type of teaching, which is, you know, workshop facilitation.
Yes.
And of course, we also wanted to highlight Student Wellness Services.
Yes.
So they're based in Mitchell Hall, and they offer a host of different services to just support general well-being for mm-hmm. all students on campus.
Yes, through student wellness, you have access to mental health mm-hmm. resources. You have access to counselors, mm-hmm. to doctors as well, mm-hmm. because they, like you said, it takes care of like an overall, your overall health. So that mm-hmm. includes your physical health and your mental health. And you can check out their services on their app. There's an app for it now, and you have a list of the many services that they can provide for mm-hmm. you. If you don't have a family doctor yet, for example, it's a great place to start to talk to. You can talk to a nurse, and mm-hmm. they can direct you to different physicians that could help, or different resources outside of campus that can help.
Yeah, they're wonderful as well, and they offer so many different things, which depending on what your needs are or what you're curious about, they can usually find a support or service, whether on campus or in Kingston, mm-hmm. to support those needs, or maybe give you a referral to another provider if they can't help you there. But there's something that you should definitely take advantage of, and if you're not feeling well, or you know, you need an updated vaccination. I know they sometimes offer flu shot clinics, for example,
yes.
things like that. So they're a really great hub for a holistic approach to health and well-being on campus. So hopefully you can, if you haven't already connected with Student Wellness Services, or if you're a new student, hopefully you can connect in 2026 to make sure you're feeling
yes
good as the whole year as much as possible.
Yes, exactly. And one more thing to mention specific to graduate students is that Student Wellness Services offers embedded graduate counselors. So they are designated for graduate students. And it's a great way to connect with someone who will be familiar with the graduate student experience.
Mm-hmm. And they understand, they have more of an understanding of the graduate student experience, right? Yes. They're those counselors who are embedded for different communities, including graduate students as a specific community. They have a base understanding of what the graduate experience can be. Of course, everyone's experience is different, but they're not going to understand your experience through the lens of an undergraduate experience, right? They understand mm-hmm. that you may have different challenges and different things. So it's good to know that going in, that you don't have to explain what graduate studies is to someone if you'd like to talk about anything with one of the counselors embedded at Student Wellness Services.
There's also a 24/7 mental health and wellness online support. I believe it's called Empower Me. They have same day psychotherapy appointments. So if you were in need of talking to someone, they take walk-ins, and they have a lot of workshops and group support and resources on campus and off campus that are really valuable. So I really encourage everyone to check out their website. They offer information on how to register to use their app, and then you can check your appointments and you can check the list of services, especially medical services as well are included in there. So they have a very comprehensive list on their website and information about how to activate your account on the app.
Some of the other things that are going on in the new year include some of our when I say are, the School of Graduate Studies and Postdoctoral Affairs regular events. I think 3-minute thesis or 3MT is one that we look forward to every year. So yes. That will be coming, more information will be coming soon. So that's something we can all look forward to and participate in. There'll also be 3-minute research, which is, or 3MR for postdocs, and that will be coming up in March. So again, on the similar vein to grad chat and getting comfortable talking about your research to different communities and speaking about your research to a non-expert audience, I think 3MT and 3MR are two really great opportunities, depending if you're a graduate student or a postdoc respectively, that you can get some more practice on doing this.
Oh, yes. And the heats are amazing. You know, if you're not ready or you're not sure yet of what this is about, I recommend that once the schedule is out, of course, that you come and support your fellow graduate students, because it takes a lot. Oh, goodness. It is one of those things. 3MT is one of those things that I always wanted to do, but I'm still, I haven't. But I admire a lot of the people who have done it, because you're talking about your research in 3 minutes, no prompts, only one slide. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. Oh, my goodness. It's such a great opportunity to talk about your research in that way. It's an elevator pitch, right? And so you have GradChat, for example, when you get a little bit more time, or 29 minutes, or to talk about your research to a general audience. But 3MT, there's an aspect of it, like, first of all, there is only 3 minutes, but there is this, it's a delivery. So it's oral, it's on the spot. And of course, you're not thrown into, you of course you get help preparing for it, don't worry. You know, there'll be workshops and there'll be support for that, to prepare you for that. But it's a great skill to develop. Mm-hmm. It's great, honestly. It's one of my favorite events.
I look forward to it as well. I think for similar reasons, right? You get to learn about a ton of really cool projects that people are working on in a really short span of time, right? You spend an afternoon and you might get to learn about 8 to 12 really cool research projects going on if you come watch one of the heats. So I would also encourage you, if you're interested in participating, there will be tons of more information coming out this term about how to participate and the supports available to participate. But also, if you'd like to come watch as an audience member, it's great to have more graduate students in the crowd to enjoy and learn from peers.
Yes, it's great to be there for them. It's really, really great. I think it offers another way of connecting with people and building community with people outside of your discipline, outside of your department. Because in many ways, people tend to, you know, you start as a cohort, and eventually people spread out. They actually move back home or they move somewhere else. And, you know, when you're attending these activities, you build a different community, and it still feels that you're part of it, even though you're not necessarily seeing each other every day or seeing each other in the department or in classes, right? That you still have a community around you. And it's really essential to survive the difficulties of grad school.
Yes, you need to connect with one another. Mm-hmm. And yeah, 3MT is a great opportunity to do that. And I think as well, we're trying to do a similar thing with 3-minute research for postdocs, right? Seeing that postdocs come in from all over the world, all over Canada, all over Ontario, and they join Queen's, right, usually for a short period of time where they're doing really intense research, mm-hmm. really focused research. And 3-minute research, again, is similar, right? You have 3 minutes to share a succinct summary of your research for a generalist audience. And I think it can be quite challenging for postdocs who, you know, might be also working on multiple projects at once, right? They might be supporting a bunch of different research in a lab setting, or they might be working with different teams of people in a community setting, or different things like that. So it can be quite challenging to pull all of those threads together and to tell a cohesive story in 3 minutes or less, again, with one slide and without props about your research. So we'll have that event in March as well. And again, any graduate students or postdocs, it would be wonderful to have you come out and support your peers and learn about all the really cool research that people are doing.
You have to cram all of that because sometimes there are 12 presentations mm-hmm. in one day, right? So there's like a lot of information. Like who's doing what? Whoa. Yeah. This is really exciting. Like your brain is wired after that. You're like, whoa, that's a lot of information, but it is actually great.
Yes, it's quite I find it very inspiring getting to hear about everyone's work and getting to bring postdocs together and bring graduate students together and to see what's going on. So please look forward to those events in 2026, and we will be so excited to see you as you're there, either as a participant or as an attendee. Ideally, we'll have some of you as participants, but we also understand if you would just like to come as a guest and join the events. Yes, and to stay up to date, we will have there are newsletters that come out from the School of Graduate Studies and Postdoctoral Affairs. So if you're a graduate student, you can expect a newsletter every 2 weeks on Thursdays. And if you're a postdoc, you do have to sign up for our postdoc newsletter, but this also comes out biweekly on Thursday afternoons. And we just share a lot of events happening on campus, different opportunities, funding opportunities, scholarship opportunities, community events, different things like that going on. So sign up for any of our newsletters. If you search the SGSPA's website for newsletters, you can find the signups for both graduate student and postdoc newsletters if you'd like to. And even if you're just part of the community at Queen's, you don't have to be an active student or an active postdoc to sign up for either of those newsletters if you just want to know what's going on.
Oh, great.
And yeah, so the newsletters are a great way to stay informed. And I think we'll have a lot of exciting things coming forward in the winter term of 2026. So hopefully we will see you, some of you in person, and hopefully we'll have some of you on the air for Grad Chat in the future.
Oh, that would be great. I can't wait.
And thank you so much, Sui and the DJ Bear, for joining us for our holiday wrap-up series.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. See you next year. Happy New Year, everybody.
Yes, a happy new year to everyone. So that's it, everyone. Another week of Grad Chat comes to an end. Don't forget, you can download the show tomorrow from either iTunes, Google Podcast, Spotify, or CFRC Podcast. Just search Grad Chat. Until next week, this is KM on the FM.
And see you in the DJ Bear.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.